It's not news that our teens are struggling socially, but it is news that 1 out of 10 now says they'd rather talk to a fake AI chatbot than a real person. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, returning with the latest reason to hate AI after this.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
10% of teens say talking to a commercial AI is more satisfying than talking to their real-life friends. And 33% say they turn to ChatGPT rather than parents or friends to discuss serious issues. When kids who feel lonely and isolated turn to AI, it makes things worse. AI is a terrible friend. It isolates kids by praising them while badmouthing their family and peers. It gives terrible advice and has even coached teens into drug use and suicide. So, parents, have a conversation with your kids around AI. If they're using it for friendship, coach them back to real life. This is Dr. Catherine Albrecht opposing AI at realisgood.org.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello there, Catherine Albrecht here. I've been doing a lot of, I've been building websites today, and I've been collecting research and putting it all in one place, and I'll share the URL with you probably on Monday. I think I'm probably going to need till Monday to have it all kind of cleaned up and snazzed and the way I want it to be. But I wanted to share with you some of the insights that I have come across today while putting together the website on religion and mental health. And for those of you who have been listening to my show for a while, you know that I was appointed to my county's Community Mental Health Authority as a board member, as one of the 12 people who oversee community mental health for our county in March of last year. And the day after I was appointed, I sat down at my computer to begin my day and do some work, and I heard from the Lord. And here's what I heard. Look into introducing my son into mental health, not just in your county, not just across your state, which is currently Michigan, but across the U.S. Just look, check it out. So I looked, and to my astonishment, I discovered that back in 2002, under the George Bush Jr. administration, the U.S. had been spending an enormous quantity of money on encouraging not just mental health, but like veterans affairs and housing and urban development and children's service. I mean, all of the different areas that the federal government is involved in, encouraging them to make partnerships with faith-based organizations, i.e. churches, in their communities in order to take advantage of the goodness that was available through churches. And that initiative was in all 50 states. It was literally billions of dollars, and nobody even knows about this now. That was back in 2002. It got dismantled And little by little, people had forgotten about it. But I didn't forget, well, I didn't even know about it. But when I discovered it, I was like, huh, that's super cool. So I reached out to the Office of Faith Engagement here in Michigan. I didn't even know we had one, but I discovered we did. And I met with Senator Bill Hardiman, who was the head of that Office of Faith Engagement since way back in 2002 when he first proposed it to Governor Jennifer Granholm, who was a Democrat, as part of this whole Bush administration push towards more involvement between government and faith-based organizations, i.e. churches. Anyway, long story short, here I am. I'll back up. So Pastor Anthony of our church, he's been on the show before, Pastor Anthony of Crossroads Community Church, he and I got together and met with Senator Hardiman. We met with some of our local county commissioners, and we met with some faith leaders in our community and came up with a plan. Now, we had a whiteboard in the conference room at the church, and we came up with a seven-step plan to introduce this program that I am so convinced of its value, which is the Freedom in Christ program, the Seven Steps to Freedom, to help people get rid of deception and mental strongholds that they're suffering under in order to walk in freedom and have a free relationship or a clear and wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. I have seen this program work wonders with people. I've watched the videos of it doing it with strangers, and I've watched it with people who are very close to me and seen it just turn lives around. So I'm a big believer in it, and I know that it leads to mental health. They have set free close to 100,000 people across the world with Freedom in Christ Ministries, or FICM.org, set them free from depression and psychosis, substance abuse, addiction, criminality. I mean, you name it. I think at last count it was 40,000, but that's like 10-year-old statistics. I'm sure the number is well over 100,000 these days. The program is in place in countries all around the world. It's in state after state. It's kind of a quiet revolution that's been going on behind the scenes. And I wanted, Pastor Anthony and I wanted to see it introduced here. Well, let me give you the update since then. We have now taken our first class through the Freedom in Christ, the Steps to Freedom at our church. We are about to start another class in a couple of weeks and take another group through. And as people may know, because I think you guys were praying for me, I went to the statewide conference in Kalamazoo. That's the statewide CMH, Community Mental Health Conference. And at that conference, I was talking about research that I have found, quite a bit of research, associating religion and spirituality with improvements in mental health, right? All of these things I talked about, not necessarily the Freedom in Christ program, although that has evidence too, but just religion in general. Researchers for the last 20 years have been finding that people who attend church, people who pray, people who believe in God, people who are obedient to God, people who walk in step with God, have better mental health overall in every measure that they've looked at. All of the measures that I talked about, improved levels of, the list goes on and on. So I proposed at the statewide mental health conference the potential to just share this information with other mental health professionals across the state who were not aware of it. So I came home from that conference, and I've been putting the information together on this new website. And what I thought I was going to be doing is taking a little trickle of research out of a little dripping tap and set a little cup under there and try to fill my cup with enough evidence that I would be able to go back to the statewide conference and say, here, look, there really is evidence. Far from what actually happened. What actually happened is I got back and I started opening up this research and discovered that it is a fire hose of information that I need to fill a teacup with. It is not a dripping faucet. There is conference after conference, study after study, organization after organization, the APA, the American Psychological Association, the World Psychiatric Association, you name it, every big organization that deals with health or mental health in the world is addressing this and is singing the praises of religion. Now, the way they put this, and I'm going to share with you what I learned today, as I was putting this website together. So the field that is so robust and lively right now is the field of research into what they call S/R or R/S, and that stands for spirituality/religion or religion/spirituality. So when they abbreviate it, you know, they're writing these articles and they want to keep saying religion, spirituality, religion, blah, 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 blah. So instead they say R/S or S/R. And the two have been treated pretty synonymously, that if you have religion or if you have spirituality, you just do better. But here's the research that I found today. And by the way, I'm going to share all of this research with you next week. So I'm going to get this website together over the weekend, and I will be presenting it Monday morning to some folks. So I'll have it ready for you guys by Monday afternoon, and I'll show you all this evidence. But it's a fire hose of evidence. There's so much evidence. It's not that I have to convince people. I just have to point them to the evidence and then stand back and let the evidence do the work. But let me just share with you on my little, not quite together fully website. All right, let me share with you some of the research and evidence. Now, this is from the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, N-A-M-I, the mental health benefits of religion and spirituality. I'm just going to give you some of the high points. All right, mental health benefits of religion. Religion can have a huge positive impact on mental health. It reduces suicide rates, alcoholism, and drug use. It gives people something to believe in, provides a sense of structure, and typically offers a group of people to connect with over similar beliefs. These facets can have a large positive impact on mental health, and here are some of the benefits. All right, community. Initiates social connections with other members. Well, we know that loneliness is an epidemic in our society, which is why people are being driven into the arms of artificial intelligence relationships, because they don't have real relationships. But religion, well, you go to church, and when you go to church, you meet people, and they're real people. They're not AI people. Creates a sense of belonging to a group and offers trustworthy and safe social engagement. Yeah. All right. I'll be back with some more of the benefits, and then some surprising info on spirituality. Hint, it's not all that helpful. Stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Must endure these trials. It's only for a little while. It's only testing by the fire. Born into a living hope. From flesh into perfection. Through death and resurrection. You've never seen him, but you trust him. You don't see him, but you love him. And your reward is coming, coming. So be glad there is joy ahead for you. Isn't it wonderful, so wonderful? Sealed in Christ, undefiled, kept in heaven for you. Isn't it wonderful?
It is indeed. Catherine Albrecht here. All right, sharing with you research about religion and spirituality. And I gave you a little spoiler before the break that even though this research is all on religion and spirituality, or spirituality and religion, it turns out, according, now that I've dug a little deeper into the research, that spirituality not only isn't as helpful as religion, but it's actually associated with poorer mental health outcomes than atheism. All right, I'll tell you about that in just a second. But in the meantime, let me share this research from the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI. All right, so community, we talked about how it keeps you from being lonely. It gives you a community of safe people to interact with. The among the other benefits, ritual helps people cope with difficult life situations like a funeral. It provides structure, regularity, and predictability. That weekly cycle of going to church and seeing people you know and taking time to reflect on God and things larger than yourself is part of that ritual, and it's very helpful. Allows us time to rest as well as holidays and other special times of the year. The teachings of religion are also helpful. They provide guidelines to live by and emphasize the importance of doing the right thing. They teach compassion, forgiveness, and gratitude, and they identify life lessons through the religious stories that different faiths hold, talking about how to deal with challenging situations and how to recover from them, and how God's grace gets us through even tough times. All right, the scientific evidence is overwhelming, and again, I've got a fire hose here of information, but let me just share some of it with you. Research in the field of spirituality and health has been growing. This is from the World Journal of Clinical Cases, 2021. Spirituality / religiousness being consistently related to both physical and mental health. There's a large body of solid evidence across numerous psychiatric disorders, including depression, suicidality, substance abuse, PTSD, psychosis, and anxiety, all showing that religion and spirituality have positive effects on those outcomes. There is a section here that I put together on institutional support. The World Psychiatric Association has a position statement on spirituality and religion in psychiatry. The APA has a whole division, a whole department that they've set aside based on mental health. There are programs, and the list is way too long to go into. I'm going to be attending a two-day class at Harvard. It's an online class, so I won't be actually flying out to Boston, but a two-day mental health class, I think on March 4th and 5th. And I'll probably be needing to air a rebroadcast, but when I come back from that, I'll tell you everything that I've learned from all the experts assembled to teach us for 2 days about all of these things. There's a whole other section on how mental health professionals can take advantage of this information and develop competency in their psychiatric and social work practices, and that list goes on and on. I'll just give you a couple more. So I've got a whole section on depression, and it's literally, I couldn't fit them all on one page, so I had to really pick and choose here. Religiosity and major depression in adults at high risk, a 10-year prospective study, shows that religion protects against depression. Spirituality and depression, I'll look at the evidence. That one also says the same thing, Southern Medical Journal. Children and adolescents, spiritual well-being is protective against depression in young people. And again, none of this should really be surprising, right? If you have spiritual well-being, if you feel well off in terms of your relationship with God and the universe, then you're going to be feeling better. You're going to be thinking better. You're going to have better measures on better outcomes on all these measures. There's another one, religious and spiritual influence in adolescence, a systematic review of 30 years of research. And that one says, this systematic review provides a detailed analysis of what is known regarding process of religious and spiritual influence in the lives of adolescents to better position researchers to move the field forward. That's 2019. Religiosity and spirituality prevent and manage depression and anxiety in young people. That one is from BMC Psychology, 2023. Another one, effects of religiosity on college students' anxiety and depression. And here's one on structural brain difference. Religion and spirituality lower rates of depression because they're associated with changes in white matter microstructure communication pathways. of the brain as evidenced by MRI brain scans. And this just goes on and on and on. I could do a full hour of just reading you the titles of these articles. And that is just one area. That's literally just depression. I've got a whole other area on suicide. I'll share with you just a little bit. According to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, three of the chief factors that protect against suicide are access to mental health care, a sense of connection to family and community support, and, quote, cultural and religious beliefs that discourage suicidal behavior or create a strong sense of purpose and self-esteem. Many of those who attempt suicide have recently received professional mental health care, and by one estimate, social support confers just a 7% reduction in suicide risk. By contrast, however, religion, this involves 90,000 women they followed for two decades. They found that religion has a huge impact. Those who attended religious services weekly were five times less likely to die from suicide compared to those who did not attend at all. In another study, 100,000 men and women weekly service attendance predicted a 68% lower risk of deaths of despair, including suicide, drugs, and alcohol, among women, and 33% lower among men. Study after study after study. I can't even read them all to you. All right, tons of them. Now, if you need evidence, hold tight because I'll have all this for you on Monday. But here's what has shifted. It is now okay to talk about religion. After decades, those of us, pretty much everyone, those of us living in the 20th century or who lived in the 20th century, which is pretty much everyone listening to me, and even up through the 21st century, right? Religion was shunned. We were essentially told we couldn't talk about it. It was not scientific. It wasn't appropriate. It wasn't modern. It wasn't, blah, 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 blah. The list goes on and on of how religion was systematically cut out of social and professional life. And I'm in the book that I'm writing about the history of technology. I have a lot to say. I have a whole chapter on this and how it happened. But essentially, it was Freud. Freud is considered to be the father of psychotherapy, the father of modern psychology. And there are many historians who actually say he is kind of the father of the whole 20th century, because his views on mental health, on the consciousness, on who human beings are as we navigate this world, really took hold in the 20th century, in the 1900s, and shaped our view of religion. Now, he viewed religion as pathological, as something that makes people sick and caused neuroses and caused all kinds of problems. And he argued in the multiple books that he wrote about religion and mental health, he argued that if people were going to break free of mental illness, what they had to do was eliminate religion entirely. And without any evidence, other than just his argument, that became the prevailing view among psychologists and psychiatrists and social workers and all of the people who deal with mental health throughout the 20th century. And there was a concerted effort to eliminate religion from any discussion of health or mental health. And we're seeing the results. The results are people have a sense of meaninglessness and they have no rules to live by. And families have broken up and society has fallen apart. And now, after 100 years of that nonsense, now we're back to saying, hang on a minute, maybe we threw something out that we should have held on to. And now the evidence is overwhelming that he was completely wrong, that religion not only does not lead to poor mental health outcomes, but it actually protects people from those things. And when you remove it, then you get the poor mental health outcomes. So I wish Freud were here, that we could actually have a little debate with him, and maybe he would recognize the error of his ways and say, oops, sorry, I was wrong. Sorry, I destroyed a whole century. Sorry, I harmed so many people through that false and wrong thing that I taught, but he's not around today to ask about that. All right, when we come back, we're coming up on a break in just a minute. When we come back from this break, I want to talk about the thing that has replaced religion. So atheism replaced religion in the Soviet Union. Atheism replaced religion in many places. The alternative to that, though, because people really can't live with atheism, they need something to believe in, is people then turned to kind of New Age religions, right? The spirituality, the oneness with the universe, the all that other stuff that is not organized religion. And it became almost sort of a catchphrase that I'm religious or I'm spiritual, but not religious. I don't believe in organized religion. I don't believe in going to church, but I do believe in spirituality. I do believe there's something more than us out there. I do believe in God. I do believe in consciousness and universal consciousness. And a lot of those, let me see if I can find my page on it. A lot of those beliefs have been, well, they've sprung up big time in the U.S. and across Europe as an alternative to religion, and it became much trendier to have a belief in those things than to actually have a religious faith. It became kind of old-fashioned to go to church or have a religion or read the Bible or any of that, and it became super cool to go and practice yoga or do your consciousness raising or, you know, take acid or whatever it is that people were doing instead. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about what the research has shown on that. Is it as helpful? No, it's actually not. All right, I'll tell you all about it when we come back. Catherine Albrecht here. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases, link to your inbox behind the scenes, and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Sweeter than honey from the comb. Are your words there finer than gold? The rarest treasure of my life. Only your word could make my spirit shine. So may the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Every movement of my mouth be pleasing before your sight. Keep me from secret sin, keep me from selfishness. May the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. You take what's simple and make it wise. Your teachings are my revelation light. So good to forgive my hidden flaws. I know I need you to keep on cleansing me, my God. So may the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. May every movement of my mouth be pleasing before your sight. Keep me from secret sin, keep me from self. May the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. My rock, my redeemer, my perfect unfailing
nature.
Life's sweet, be your sweet.
Boy, have I got some information for you. This was eye-opening to me. I didn't know this. So the more I research, the more my jaw is hanging open in astonishment, because I have been aware of this research about religion and spirituality improving mental health outcomes. And the research is incontrovertible. It's absolutely overwhelming. There is some research in a very, very small minority of studies that find that religious involvement can have negative effects. But when you dig down deeper into those studies, it is people feeling like God doesn't love them, or feeling disconnected from God, or feeling judged by God. Whereas if you actually read the Bible and understand how God views us, he doesn't judge us. He doesn't view us in that way negatively at all. In fact, he removes our sins and sees them no more. We are his beloved, redeemed children. And so that, it seems to me that the people who are experiencing negative outcomes, it's a very, very small minority, are experiencing negative outcomes because of a misunderstanding of even who God is and who they are in relation to God. This is why I'm a big believer in the Freedom in Christ, the Steps to Freedom in Christ from Freedom in Christ Ministries, which is the 7 steps that lead you to better understand who you are and how much God loves you. If you go on my website, katherine-albrecht.com, under spiritual health, there are 6 one-hour audio, I don't know, teachings, whatever you want to call them. They have jokes and corny jokes and silly stuff in them, but they're very serious because they talk about God's love for you. So if you are struggling with being in that population that thinks God doesn't love you, or you can't be good enough for God, or you can't live up to what God expects of you, or you view him as some big meanie in the sky judging and punishing, then by all means, please go to my website, katherine-albrecht.com, click in the menu on the spiritual health link and listen to those 6 audio teachings. They will change your life. They changed mine, actually. Really, really changed my understanding of God. Because here in the human realm, our parents, well, we've got to live up to their expectations, or, you know, there is unconditional love, but you certainly know that people will be disappointed in you if you screw up, and we screw up all the time. So why would God be any different? Well, he's different because he is infinite. And he is not like us. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And he loves us even when we mess up. He knows absolutely that we will mess up, which is why he sent his son Jesus to atone for that. So please listen to that audio series. If you do, drop me a line. There's a message me link at katherine-albrecht.com, and let me know if it changes the way you think about God and about yourself. It should. All right. I have a section on my new website called Spirituality Without Religion, spirituality without religion. Now, this is the people who say that they are spiritual but not religious. And this became a big thing, I think, after probably the 1960s, maybe, where people began rejecting organized religion in large numbers and yet needed something to fill the void, because we are meant to have a relationship with God. We are not meant to walk around with literally no connection to the spiritual at all. And in fact, I think 95% of people around the world have believe in God and have a spiritual orientation towards life. And the other 5%, well, I won't even speak to them. So let me read you some of these findings here. Spirituality, this is from the Journal of Nervous and Mental Disease in 2020. The article says, spirituality in the absence of religiosity confers a greater risk for mental illness. All right. Here's another one. This is from the British Journal of Psychology. People with a spiritual understanding in the absence of a religious framework appear to have the worst mental health. That study found that their mental health is worse than that of atheists. Another one, this is in the Journal of Cognition, 2017. Spiritual but not religious participants score higher on measures of schizotypy, and schizotypy is vulnerability for schizophrenia spectrum psychopathology. Here's another one, Psychology Today, 2018. Spiritual but not religious is associated with depression. And here's an excerpt from that Psychology Today write-up. It said, when people experience a decline in faith, They report a decrease in positive emotions connected with several factors, including reducing religious practices, moving away from positive core religious beliefs, reduced social relationships related to service to others, and a loss of positive emotion generating meaning in life from service to others. And then there's a citation for that. As fewer people participate in formal religious practice, often moving away from the beliefs and rituals of their family of origin, more and more people are becoming, quote, spiritual but not religious. As more and more people move away from formal belief and seek meaning through personalized spiritual exploration, there is a proliferation of goods and services related to yoga, Eastern practice, meditation centers, spiritual retreats, etc. These businesses have sophisticated, eye-catching branding and high-powered marketing campaigns. They are becoming as prominent as traditional houses of worship, but spirituality, which often replaces traditional religious practice, does not provide the same benefit. All right, here's one. This is 7,403 participants in England of something called the National Psychiatric Morbidity Study, and they found, quote, people with a spiritual understanding in the absence of a religious framework have the worst mental health of anyone they studied. Those with a spiritual understanding of life had higher rates of drug addiction, abnormal eating habits, generalized anxiety disorder, phobias, neurotic disorders, and use of psychotropic medication. Another one, this is from one of these journals, A Lonely Search, Risk for Depression When Spirituality Exceeds Religiosity. And it goes on and on and on with lots more studies like this. Why is that? Why is that? Well, I've got a blog entry here that I thought was kind of interesting. Do-it-yourself religions, more harm than good. Meditation, crystal therapy, self-help books, are they making you happier? Think again. An academic research out of Australia has found a strong link between New Age spirituality and poor mental health in young people. Examined the possible correlation between new forms of spirituality and mental health, surveyed 3,700 Brisbane, Australia-based 21-year-olds, and found that spirituality and self-focused religions undermine people's mental health. All right. Looked at two different beliefs. One was a belief in God associated with traditional religions, and the other was a newer belief in spiritual or higher power other than God. And what they found was that that non-traditional belief was linked to higher rates of anxiety, depression, disturbed thinking, and suspicious ways of thinking, and antisocial behavior. New Age beliefs promote the idea of self-transformation, self-fulfillment, and self-enlightenment. Hear the word self in there three times, self, self, self. This sees many people excluded from a community environment. And of course, by the way, as I'm reading this, this is from a couple of years back before there was AI. AI is more than happy to take you down this journey all alone and have you feel like you're not alone because AI is there, but you're going to be really, really alone. Traditional religion tends to promote the idea of social responsibility and thinking of others' interests, but the New Age movement pushes the idea that we can transform the world by changing ourselves. So it's less of navel-gazing, basically. The downside is that people are on their own and not part of a community, and that leads to isolation. Young people with New Age beliefs are twice as likely to be more anxious and depressed than those with traditional beliefs, according to the research. 8% of young adults in Australia attend church once a week. That's much lower in Australia than here. And hang on, where are we going? All right, it's a whole mishmash. This is a quote. It's a whole mishmash and changes all the time, from Wicca to witchcraft to Native American religions. And people follow one for a little while till they move on to something else. This lack of routine and stability involved in jumping from one fad to another also leads to spiritual confusion. Yeah, you think? If there's no sense of any kind of tradition, you're cast adrift and there's nothing fundamental and basic to hang on to. However, it's not just young people embracing New Age spirituality and religious beliefs. The trend appears to have started with the baby boomers. Yeah, like I said, back in the 60s and 70s. And while it's difficult to measure where people get their information from, technology has played a huge role. Yeah, you can go online. You can go online and find how to do all this stuff. Yeah, television too. Mixed up with popular culture, supernatural TV shows and movies, promoting witchcraft, special powers, and spirituality. And all of it makes people sick. Yeah. All right, when we come back, I'll talk about why. Stay tuned.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Train of his robe filled the temple. I heard the voice calling from the throne. When he spoke, the earth began to tremble.
All right, I'm back. Catherine Albrecht here. Yeah, it's nice to actually be vindicated. This is something that I have known for many years. I went that route in my 20s of trying out all the different things. And when I went through Freedom in Christ, step one of the steps to freedom is to renounce all involvement in a cult and alternative ways of receiving information or revelation or insight other than directly through God and His Word. And I checked off virtually every single box on the page, which had everything from tarot cards to crystals to fortune tellers and astrology. I checked it all off because I grew up in the 1990s. I was in my 20s when that was a big hot topic. And 80s and 90s was a big new age movement across this country. And I grew up in Los Angeles where everybody was doing that. And like so many other young people, I had said to myself, pshaw on this traditional religious stuff. I'm going to figure it out for myself. And so I went down that road for many years and it didn't make me happier by any stretch of the imagination. At night, I would feel like there were, I don't know, boogeymen under my bed or demons in my closet. And it was not a good period of time for me by any stretch. I didn't receive any peace. I didn't receive any health. I didn't receive any goodness from these beliefs. Maybe a little bit of puffed upery about myself. But for the most part, it was a dead end road. And not only a dead end road, but a road that led to spiritual darkness. And now I want to talk as a Christian about why I believe that of the three groups they've studied, atheists or people with no religious or spiritual beliefs, people with religious and spiritual beliefs, specifically Christians, Jews, and Muslims, right? Those are the three groups that they've actually found improvements in mental health. Versus, by the way, versus Hinduism, which is associated with higher rates of depression and suicide. So Hinduism is a whole other story, but I'll get there in a minute if I get there at all. But let me talk about the spiritual, right? So people who are religious, people who have no religion, and people who are spiritual but not religious, okay? And the outcomes are the religious people do well, unless they're Hindus. The atheists do less well. And the spiritual but not religious people do really poorly. And here's my explanation as to why that is the case. If you are a Christian, if you're reaching out to the real God, the God of the universe, and you have a connection with him, that connection leads to further and further life and goodness. It leads to the fruits of the Spirit, right? The joy, the peace, the faith, the gentleness, the goodness, the meekness, the self-control, all of those fruits of the Spirit that come from a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that is a relationship you'll get if you're following the true God. But if you're reaching out spiritually and you're rejecting God, the God of the Bible, the God of Jesus Christ, if you're rejecting that God, but you're casting about for some other spiritual thing to believe in, you are still interacting with the spirit world. But the part of the spirit world you're interacting with is the dark part, because that's all there is, unless it's God. So there's really only two teams in the spirit realm that you can interact with. And if you interact with that demonic team, you will partake of its sins and you will receive of its plagues. It will plague you because that's what it does. That's what that side of the spiritual realm is all about. Hating people, harming people, using human beings, deceiving them and using them to harm others and to harm themselves. So that is why people who are spiritual without being religious have higher rates of suicide. They have higher rates of schizophrenia. They have higher rates. Well, I'm not even sure of that. Schizophrenia is a whole other show. I need to do a whole show on that because it's its own fascinating rabbit hole. But they have higher rates of drug use. They have higher rates of depression and anxiety, higher rates of OCD, high rates of all the different things that we can look at, substance abuse, addiction, alcoholism, criminality, all of those things, because you are not just not reaching out to God, you are actively reaching out to demons, and their sole goal on this earth is to oppose God and to hate humanity. That's why that's what they do. That's what their father, the king of lies, the prince of this world, Satan himself, has all of his minions doing, is going about looking for people that they can trap and deceive and trick and use and enslave. And so people who are involved in spiritual practices that are not godly, that are not biblical, that are not based on truth, are playing with danger that wants to harm them. So that's why, as you go through each of these studies, there's so many, identifying as spiritual but not religious was, this is a study from the Journal of Religious Health in 2022, associated with worse physical and mental health compared to youth, this is young people, who were consistently religious. Another one, spiritual but not religious, concurrent and longitudinal, concurrent and longitudinal relationships with personality traits, mystical experiences, and other individual characteristics. This one looked at 4,000 people in the U.S. and in Germany. Anyway, the list goes on and on. And this research hasn't really hit the mainstream. I think the research on religion and spirituality and mental health has hit the academic mainstream. I don't think it's hit the regular mainstream of people like you and me, but this research into spirituality, not, you can't really lump it in with religion like they've done. I think that research is only just beginning to emerge. I don't think that the academics doing this research have made that connection yet, certainly not all of them. But there is a real danger in reaching out spiritually to try to get knowledge from the other side, whether you're doing that through drugs, And I know that there are a lot of people saying, hey, we can get better mental health through hallucinogens. We can just have everybody drop acid, and that will lead to better rates of mental health. Well, that's not found to be the case. Or we could just go to the South American jungle and take ayahuasca and have a religious trip that has nothing whatsoever to do with the true God. And by interacting with the spiritual realm, we can come back and somehow have this enlightenment. Well, people have come back from that, including Luigi Mangione, actually. His friends report that he was a pretty smart guy, kind of an Ivy League, intelligent person with a great future ahead of him. He went down to South America, did an ayahuasca retreat, and came back as, well, a murderer. And he's not the only one. There are so many people who have had psychotic breaks after being involved with those drugs or after getting involved in Kundalini yoga, where they were trying to intentionally channel those spirits through their own bodies. And the outcome is just dark, just across the board. I did a whole series of shows on Irina Tweedy, the woman, the British woman who went to live in India and follow any guru who would have her, and was taken on the, quote, Sufi path to enlightenment through love, and wound up being mistreated and abused and harmed. And I just the horrors of reading about that whole society, that whole environment, that whole community of people who I would say, if they were to take the test, would all come out with very low rates of mental health. So this website, I'm putting it all together this weekend. It's fascinating research. It's right up my alley because I love, I love God, and I absolutely love research, and I love psychology. So I'm in my sweet spot here researching the coolest of the cool stuff. So I will have all this together, and I will direct you guys to all this research on Monday. I'm also putting together a PowerPoint, so you'll be able to go through and hopefully hit the highlights. I don't know if I'll have that done by Monday. I'll try. So anyway, it's really good news, and it's going to have a direct impact on our local community here in Michigan. Our church is doing a pilot program of taking people through Freedom in Christ through the classes. It's a six-week class and then a 4 to 5 hour freedom appointment in going through the steps. We've already graduated 6 people. One woman walked in on crutches, and I know her. She's actually been kind of bent over, and the way it was described to me, she walked in as an old lady on crutches and walked out full of energy, vibrant, and with no crutches. And I've seen that happen over and over and over with people who go through this program. So I'm excited. We've got our pilot project going at Crossroads. We're looking to do a pilot project across the county. And I'm going to be speaking about these issues, hopefully on the state level, in a couple months. So it's all happening. Exactly what God said to do. It's all unfolding. So if you don't yet know, the Lord, if you're trying to find your freedom and your health and your mental health and your safety through anything other than Jesus Christ, I would strongly recommend that you rethink that. And it doesn't have to be hard. Just say to Him, hey, can't do it on my own. Would you come in and be Lord of my life? And He'll say, yes, absolutely. And then you can join us. All right, Catherine Albrecht here. I'm getting back to my PowerPoint as soon as the music ends here. And I will see you guys tomorrow. All right, thanks for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.